Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down.
Our guest this week grew up in Rochester Hills, earned a Bachelor of Arts in Business from St. Mary's College, and an MS in the Art of Teaching from Marygrove. From 1998 to 2019, he was a teacher and basketball coach at Avondale High School and led them to a state championship in 2002. Since 2018, he's been an area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA is an interdenominational Christian sports ministry to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. His name, Tim Morton. And I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Tim Morton. Since 2018, he's been the area director for Fellowship for Christian Athletes. Tim, welcome. An honor to have you.
Honored to be here, Jack.
Can you start by leading us in an opening prayer this evening?
I'd be glad to do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you humbled at this opportunity to make you known through the airwaves. Thank you for my friend Jack for inviting me here. Lord, I'm so grateful for the platform of FCA that gives us an opportunity every day to see you move in the hearts of coaches and athletes. And my personal prayer is that this message, that it will move someone, that it'll inspire someone to know you in a greater way. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Let's start. Let's go back. Your childhood, your mom and your dad.
My mom and my dad. Both my parents are from the foothills of the Appalachians, Whitesburg, Kentucky. And they came up when they were both 20 years old. My dad hired in at General Motors, and he hitchhiked to work for the first 2 years. And we lived in Royal Oak at the time when I was born. And we moved to Rochester Hills when I was 5 years old, and my brother was one. So that's how we got to Rochester Hills, and both of them worked. And my mom worked at White Castle, which is where my first employment was. And
a slider.
A slider, absolutely.
What's the most sliders you've ever eaten in a
day? Oh, my gosh, at least a dozen. I know I've done that several times, especially when you're a teenager. But my dad instilled in me a tremendous work ethic. He's the one that introduced sports to me. I can remember shooting baskets on the side of my garage through a little mini hoop as far back as being 3 years old. So my dad was my buddy. He taught me everything I knew about sports at an early age.
What's the biggest thing mom taught you?
My mom was an amazing nurturer, just took care of me. She taught me how to read at an early age. When I went into school, I was far and above reading level than any of the other students. So I was in all the advanced classes from reading and so forth. And I have to attribute that all to my mom. Both my brother and I had everything that we needed. You know, we were well taken care of. We had everything we wanted. My father, once I got into sports, you know, he was at every game. He never missed one game my whole career.
All right, from 92 to 98, you were the owner of the Lawn Ranger. You had 100-plus clients.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, that work ethic, I got to attribute that to my dad a little bit, too, because from the first time I could push the mower, he had me out cutting the grass, and I soon found out that people just didn't like cutting grass, and I like cutting grass, so it was a way to make a little bit of money when I was young. And so when I had that bachelor's degree, I got out of St. Mary's, I knew I wanted to coach. In fact, I started coaching right away. And after about 2 years of coaching and cutting grass for someone else, I soon realized that if I'm going to build a life, I was married at the time, that I either going to have to build out my own business or I was going to have to go back to school and get my teaching degree. So I decided to go back to school, get my teaching degree, and become a teacher. So I went to Eastern Michigan. I commuted. It took me 3 years to get it. But in the meantime, I ran my own lawn service, the Lawn Ranger, so that I could have a flexible schedule to be able to get my classes in. So in 1995, I got my teaching degree.
All right, your better half, Vicky. Do you cut the grass for her every week?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. Where'd you get that love for basketball?
Well, it was all around third grade. We were in a gym class, and the fifth grade elementary coach came into the gym and was noticing me. And he was noticing that I was pretty good at putting the ball in the basket. And he approached me about being on the school team. And I said, well, this is a fifth grade team. I'm only in third grade. He said, doesn't matter. So I played 3 years on the fifth grade elementary team. And man, I realized that when I put the ball in the hoop, I got some praise and adoration from that. And man, I clung to basketball with everything I had, because at that time, I was a little pudgy. I had bleached blonde hair. I was born without two eye teeth, so I had this big gap in my teeth, and basketball was a way for me to be affirmed and noticed and recognized. So that really drove me to want to pursue it with everything I had.
1998, you become a high school basketball coach.
Yep.
22 years. Your future was dependent, your success was dependent on 14 to 18-year-old kids. How'd you handle that? Now you had the blonde hair, now you got no hair.
I know, I have no hair. Well, I have two daughters too, so I had a little bit to do with it. But in 96, I became the head coach at Avondale. So it was 2 years prior to getting the teaching position. So I had this opportunity to coach 2 years, to substitute teach before I actually became a teacher and a coach. So it was a great learning ground for me. I realized the challenge of meeting the needs of young people. I was a very relational coach, because the ones that had an impact on me were very relational. So I would have conversations with my players and get to know them at a deeper level. And I think that's what led me to be more successful and then be motivated to do what I asked them to do. But I'm not going to lie, that first year was crazy, because, you know, there were other coaches in. These guys were not used to being coached the way I wanted to coach them, and it was super challenging for me, but very rewarding also.
When we come back, we're going to ask Tim Morton about the 8th through the 12th players on every team.
Amen.
And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasulin, and we're with Tim Morton, who was the high school basketball coach at Avondale High School for 24 years, mm-hmm. took him to a state championship in 2002. Mm. Okay, the kids that never play, number 8 through 12, what role do they play?
Well, I think they play a super important role. For me, I was always looking for, I call them encouragers. These are those athletes that may not be as talented, but they have this spirit of desiring to be on the team and really enjoying the experience. So all throughout tryouts, even as a teacher, I would try to seek these young men out to be a part of what we do, because it's so important to have those type of people on your team. It's great if your players that have the more talent that play a lot can do that, but those players on that bench, they need to feel valued. And one of the ways they can feel valued is playing a role as an encourager. The other was examples. I can't tell you how many athletes that I would just keep on the team just because of their amazing work ethic, their amazing dedication to being strong academically and being that type of an example, and just being a good teammate, you know, just being a good person and having that, having them be around them. So great examples were there. Usually you need some enforcers, you know, those that will step up and be followable, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk. Those were usually in your top eight. So those were the ones that would fill out the roles that I think every successful team needed to have.
Speaking of successful teams, 2002, you win the Michigan Class B championship with Avondale High School. How did you celebrate that, Tim?
Well, not gonna lie, it was like surreal. My wife and my daughters, my family, my brother, everybody was there to celebrate that. And it was a storybook season for us. I mean, we had a really good season, but we weren't ranked there by any means. So as we made the run through the tournament, it was like, wow, this is really happening. And I can remember when we were getting ready to leave for Breslin for the Final Four, I brought all the guys into our room, and I can remember this very vividly. I was leaning right over my printer in my room, my classroom. Everybody was around. My brother was in there as well. And I said, guys, we're here for a reason. We're not going there just to be happy to be there. We deserve to be there, and let's give it everything we got and see what happens. We just want to have one more practice. And so we were able to do that, and by the grace of God, we were able to win this Class B state title. And we had a videotape of it instantly. So on the bus ride home, we're actually watching the game that just happened, and I was going, man, I can't believe this just happened. But then right before we got back to the school where we cut down the nets, and it was crazy, I had this feeling inside me of this, like, some little bit of fear and trepidation, because now what do you do? After going to the mountaintop, I kept thinking, man, we got to do this again. And it created a lot of anxiety in me, because once you've been there, you feel like you need to go back. So it took 6 years, you know, to get there. And wouldn't you know that they move us to Class A the next year. And it was going to be much more difficult.
All right. Speaking of the grace of God, in 2006, you took a mission trip to Juneau, Alaska. Mm-hmm. As a family.
Yeah.
Changed your life.
It did change my life. Actually, what happened in 2005, after the season was over, I felt a moving of the Spirit in me to step away from coaching. My marriage was not what it should be. My relationship with my daughters was not what it should have been. And I felt a little spirit of discontent. Obviously, we weren't moving toward winning Class A state title. There was some difficulty in that. That probably played a little bit into it. But I knew that there was no way that I could grow as a person and still be called coach. So I needed to step away. So when I did that, it instantly created margin in my life that I didn't have otherwise. And I'll tell you, I instantly became a better teacher, because I wasn't conserving my energy for practices and game days. And so the students got a little better version of myself. And I started pursuing my faith. And one of the things that our family always wanted to do was to go on a mission trip together. And saw a little brochure in the back of our church, Alaska Missions for Christ, to go serve the Tlingit Indians in Hoonah, Alaska, a little village of 600 people. So St. John's Lutheran in Rochester had a team that was going, and we joined them. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't about me. It was about serving and meeting the needs of others that could do nothing for me. And man, God just gave me an incredible perspective. And while I'm there, I realized that the nicest building in the village is the school. And it's the U.S., you know, it's the U.S., even though it doesn't look like it. It's a beautiful gym. And there's a basketball team. And the number one sport in Alaska is basketball. And everybody plays. The whole community plays. And I said, man, I got to come back. Maybe I can create an impact by using sport and combining that with faith. I didn't even know about FCA at the time, but I just felt a stirring in my heart that this is what I should do. So I came back and I ran a basketball camp the next year, and it was absolutely amazing.
All right, 2006, mm-hmm. 17 plus years ago, you're at a crossroads in your life. Mm-hmm. On the outside, I quote you now, on the outside, I had it all. But I was broke on the inside, a control freak, addicted to porn.
Absolutely. As I went on my spiritual journey, and God has a way of revealing the dark spots in our lives, and I was doing a pretty good job of understanding what pursuing Christ was all about, the disciplines around that, and I was becoming a leader in our church, and leading a capital fundraising, being able to lead Bible studies. And there was something that it was deep inside me that I knew I needed to to be redeemed from, to be delivered from. And this was an addiction to porn, which began at a very early age and was a part of who I was all along. And I got really convicted of saying that I'm this and then doing this. And I needed to take the steps necessary. So I confessed that to my wife, I confessed that to my pastor, and I began the journey on being redeemed and restored from that. And that was over 13 years ago, and I haven't gone back by the grace of God, but it's still always there. It's a daily battle, never goes away. But I know I have what I need in me, the Holy Spirit, to be able to have the self-control to do it.
If there's a listener tonight, man or woman,
Correct.
addicted to porn, and they say, Tim, I'm powerless over this. What do you say to him or her?
The key for me was the truth of Scripture speaking to my heart. In Ephesians, Paul speaks to, in chapter 2, it's by grace that you have been saved, by your faith, not by your works. It's so that you can't boast, Tim. And I have created you to do good works in my name. You're my masterpiece. So it is the grace of God that gives us what we need to be able to say no to the things that we need to say no to. It's not under our own power and strength. It's under the grace of God. So it's about establishing the disciplines, about putting people around you that can hold you accountable and staying the course. Because God will put that spirit in your heart to take away the desire to do those things. It is possible with God.
We're talking to Tim Morton. If you want to learn more, www.michiganfca.org. MichiganFCA.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the time God told him, Tim, I want you to be a coach for Christ. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Prezzullo. We're with Tim Morton. 2013, God says, Tim, I want you to be a coach for me.
Yeah. Wow. I still remember that day. It was a normal day, and I had a knock on my door, and the principal came to my door and said, Tim, we just fired the basketball coach. Now, remember, I'd been out since 2006. I hadn't been to the gym. I hadn't gone to a game. I really wasn't. I was just pursuing Christ, and I was loving where my life was going. And I was even considering a basketball ministry on the side, and I was thinking about what that could look like. And, she approaches me with that, and I was kind of blown away by it. There was 4 games to go in the season. I didn't know any of these kids really that well. But the Lord put a spirit in my heart to say, you know what, Tim? You're not the same person as you were 6 years ago. You're different. And now you can be a coach for me. These boys need Jesus. You can use this as a platform to do that. So I went down, and it was a Wednesday. And they all showed up, and I just told them who I was, why I wanted to come back, what it would be like, and if any of them wanted to come back the next day, all I need is 5, we'll be good to go. And they all showed up and just began this journey. This is it's interesting how God works, because being the control freak that I was, I had no time to really prepare anything. They had these plays, so it was more about relationship building. It was more about just being there for them. And man, it was powerful what happened just in those 4 games. And my family was behind it. My wife was behind it. The district enabled me to have a paid assistant coach position because I was helping to take care of my parents at that time. So everything kind of fell into place for me to have a second chance at coaching and doing it God's way.
All right. FCA was founded in 1954, mm-hmm. 70 years ago,
yeah.
by Don McLennan. Tell us about FCA.
Yeah, it was during that time off, around 2011, actually, I got introduced to FCA. We had two other parents in our district who had athletes. My daughters were athletes, and we were looking for something that could combine faith and sport. And one of them knew, at that time, the director in Southeast Michigan, Brad Griffin. So Brad came to our school. He told us what it was all about, and I got introduced to FCA at that time. And I was blown away by just the sheer breadth and width of the ministry, the resources that were available. So myself and those two other men became huddle coaches, and we discipled student athletes. Our kids were some of them. And then they would lead these huddle groups within the school. And I saw God move in some incredible ways during that time leading up to why I jumped back into coaching. And so Don McLennan was a basketball coach. And Don McLennan had the vision of saying, hey, we got these guys that promote cigarettes and shaving cream, professional athletes. What would it look like if athletes promoted Jesus? And man, that vision, his vision, they had their first meeting in Estes Park, Colorado in 1954. They had over 300 people gathering. Branch Rickey was one of those, who was the one that brought in Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was a part of FCA. Just the history behind it, you know it's the hand of God that's been upon it when you have something that lasts for 70 years and it's still going strong today.
It has a statement of faith.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. What I love about the statement of faith is it creates unity through those that we serve. You know, we're a non-denominational parachurch ministry. So we have over 30 churches that we're in partnership with, and they help in terms of the ways donors volunteer. They create space for us. We can have events at their locations. And so these church partners and all of our volunteers, they have to go through a ministry leader application, which has our statements of faith. And this is what we stand on. This is the common ground that FCA stands upon that brings people together that normally wouldn't come together.
If you want to learn more, www.michiganfca.org.
Yeah.
That sounds nice, Tim, but the reality is young people don't want to get up and go to a school or a gym at 6 o'clock in the morning to hear about Jesus?
Well, you'd be surprised. Most of our multi-sport huddles, and we have over 30 of them right now in the Metro Detroit area, they do meet before school. Just last week, I was at Chippewa Valley High School, and I got a picture of 50 to 60 athletes in a room, the room that's big enough to hold them right now. And there's student athletes that are leading and sharing the love of Jesus with them. And they're talking about Jesus. They're getting into God's word and they're praying for each other. Never more than ever right now, our youth needs something to stand on. They need principles to live by. There's a mental health crisis. And so not saying that we can go in and fix people. What we do is we go in and we meet needs and we create a space where they can explore this relationship with Jesus. Sport is the thing that brings them together, but faith is the thing that gives them hope to press on and to realize that sports is something they get to do. It's not who they are.
We're talking to Tim Morton, www.michiganfca.org. Since 2022, he's been the FCA Southeast Michigan Multi-Area Director, 11 counties.
Yeah.
All right. Aren't you violating the separation of church and state?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Well, by law, we do have equal access to athletes and coaches that desire that want to explore faith and sport. So as long as the student athletes desire it and they are leading it, then we have equal access and they should be allowed to do that in a public school. The only thing that stipulation is, because of the statement of faith, those that lead the huddle We want them to be in alignment with the statements of faith. So certain athletes that are in alignment with the statement of faith would lead it, but anybody is welcome to be a part of the FCA huddle in the school.
We're talking to Tim Morton. I quote him now, "I'm a full-time missionary to lead every coach and athlete into a true relationship with Jesus."
Yeah.
And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Crisula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Tim Morton. Since 2018, he's been an area director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, www.michiganfca.org. I quote you again. "My greatest victory as a coach slash missionary is to transform a life to Jesus."
Amen.
The name of the show is "With God, Anything Is Possible." But yeah. Tim, in today's world, that's impossible.
Oh, it's possible. I've seen it happen. I'll share a quick story. So in that gym where we celebrated the state championship, my first year as an FCA director, we had something called the Fields of Faith. And so we held it in our gym. And what it is, it's just a night of worship, of Bible reading challenge, testimonies for the community, and it's student-led. And so we had it in our gym. It was the first one that we had. And we had some Avondale athletes show up. And at the end of the event, we always have an altar call so that anyone can step forward and dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ. And Pastor Donald Johnson did an amazing job of setting that up. And he's a pastor in Auburn Hills, right near the high school. And he makes this offer, and crickets are chirping and nothing's happening. And I was praying for this event that would just one athlete would step forward. And if just one athlete would step forward and make that declaration of faith, that it would be worth it. And one athlete steps out, happened to be a freshman at the time, and walks out, and he's the first one. And then another, and then another, and I think six that evening. To me, had some great victories in that gym, but to me, that was one of the greatest victories ever.
Let's talk about America's greatest natural resource, our young people.
Yeah.
A boy is the only thing God can use to make a man, and a girl is the only thing God can use to make a woman. Mm. Our young people today, deep down, what do they want, Tim? What do they need today?
Amen. I think they have a deep sense of wanting to make a difference in their world. And it can be very confusing, the messages that are coming at them. So I think what they need is clarity, and they need a sense of purpose. And I think it comes from two things. It comes from who they are. So they need to know who they are in Christ. They're His children. And that means they have great power and value. That they're gifted differently, that they're all unique, but they're unified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if they know that, then they know that they're His, and that gives them the purpose. Now, after that, you gotta be exploring what matters most to them, and to me, it's all about relationships. So you are going to be who you hang around, And young people today, they need to be building a team of support around them that can help them advance, grow emotionally, mentally, physically, but most of all, spiritually. It can be done.
Teenagers today, the landmines that they have to traverse are much steeper and more powerful than in our day.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the messages they're hearing, the iPhone. That's their Bible. That's their God. That's the all-knowing. Talk about the good and the bad of these iPhones.
Yeah. Well, the bad, obviously, is you know, the amount of time that's spent on it. And a lot of times you, like you and I, you know, we build a relationship through being together face-to-face, sharing a good word. And because of those, there's a lot of less and less of that going on. And so you build relationships through getting to know people, so that the art of conversation is not as much out there. So because of the iPhone, and there's access to so many bad things through the iPhone, but there's also access to good things. More people have access to God's word than ever before because of the iPhone. So to me, it always comes back to knowing who you are, whose you are, what matters most, and then it's your disciplines. What are your daily disciplines that you apply? Because that's going to tell you the direction that you go in. So I don't think we're ever going to eliminate technology. We're going to have to learn how to utilize it to our advantage. And it always comes back through to the character of that person. And that comes through mentorship, discipleship, relationship. And so we need to follow the Great Commission, which is to go, therefore, and make disciples.
What have these young athletes taught you, Tim Morton?
Yes. There's tremendous power in our youth. And it really energized me as a teacher when I saw students own what they were doing rather than renting it. And what I mean by that is I think sometimes us as adults, in the effort to protect our young people, we have a tendency to enable them, and we don't empower them. And I think you can challenge and empower young people when they know who they are and they have a sense of purpose. And it's difficult. They need to be able to do hard things. And so life is difficult and it's hard. And so you can't shelter them from the hard things. There's great lessons to be learned in the hard things. And so if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he says it well, to pick up your cross and follow me. And that cross is the sufferings for Christ. Because if you make a statement and say, this is who I'm going to follow, that means you're going to have to sacrifice. And you may suffer as a result of that. But that hard, choosing that hard, is investing eternally into something that can never be taken away. And so belief in that is what's important.
Speaking of being difficult, Tim Morton, you've surrendered to Jesus.
Amen.
I can't.
It's a personal journey. And I think it comes down to responding to the Holy Spirit and being able to receive it, first of all, and then being able to respond to it. I think as followers of Christ, the hardest thing for us to do is to not get caught up in the response of those that we serve. We're called to plant the seeds. We're called to make him known. We can't force someone to do that. Jesus never did that. All he would do was invite. So I think when we do that with the right heart and the right intentionality with people, Jesus is pleased. He is pleased. And if it's in his timing and in his will, people will respond. And I see it all the time. People that you would not expect to respond are responding, and people that you thought would respond are not responding. And what it tells you is that God is in control of that, and we're not, and we got to release that.
I quote you again, spiritual disciplines. You go from drudgery to discipline to delight.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, and I'm actually living that now, because I mean, even as an athlete, right, as I know when I was an athlete, I always kind of prided myself in my work ethic. And, you know, I would do the things that people wouldn't want to do, you know, get up early in the morning, work out, better my body, go, you know, run and cardio, all that's required as an athlete to grow and get better. And to me, it only makes sense from a spirituality standpoint that we have spiritual disciplines that we have to engage in as well. And for someone that's a new believer, they might not feel it yet. They might have a little sense of knowledge, but it hasn't hit their heart. And the only way to go from the head to the heart is to stay with it. That's why mentorship is so important, to see somebody that has gone from drudgery to discipline to delight and to see how that's changed them. That's what motivates people to stay in it, because they see, yes, it can move in that direction, and it might take some time to get there. But as we continue to grow, God will continue to transform us. And at some point, it's going to be, man, I need this. I need to have this every day in my life. I need prayer. I need to be in God's word. I need to be around God-honoring people to sharpen me so that I can continue to grow.
As our time winds down, can you lead us in a short closing prayer tonight?
Absolutely. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, so grateful for this time with Jack. And I pray that whoever is hearing this, Lord, knows and realizes that anything is possible with you, that an old bald basketball coach can be used for the kingdom. And at the end of the day, Lord, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I know that's what I want to hear. And I feel I'm going to hear it because I trust you. And I know that following you is not easy, but I choose your heart. And I pray for someone out there that thinks it's not possible, that my life can't be turned around, that we serve a great God and who can change lives, not in an instant, but gradually. And that if we trust in him and we stay the course, we can live a life of purpose here and we can live eternally now. That's my prayer. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Tim Wharton. Keep up the great, great work, Tim.
Appreciate you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.